Do not be afraid. These words are repeated many times throughout the Bible, and often when God or an angel appears to someone in a vision. If the vision is good news, a promise, an announcement of blessing or favor, it begins with these words, "Do not be afraid." In today's reading, God is coming to Abram with good news, specifically a renewal of God's promise of blessing for Abram and his family. God first came to Abram with this promise of blessing many years ago. The promise came with a command: take your wife and all you have and leave your home and go to the land I will show you. And I will give you the land, and I will give you many descendants, and I will give you a blessing, so that your family may be a blessing to all the world. And Abram went. Just like that, Abram took his family and all his household and belongings and herds and left everything he'd known. He left his community, his extended family, and his way of life to follow the command and promise of God. And for this, Abram, later named Abraham, is remembered as a model of faith and faithfulness. He is remembered as the father of three religions. Christians, Jews, and Muslims trace our history of faith back to Abraham. Now, many years have passed for Abram and his family. Abram moved south to the Negev, where he faced famine, and so he went even further into Egypt. He prospered there, and he returned to Bethel a wealthy man. He gave land to his nephew Lot, and then he had to rescue Lot when he was taken captive in war. Abraham gave a tithe of his war spoils to the priest Melchizedek, who blessed him. Abraham made mistakes along the way and some questionable moves, like when they get to Egypt and he tells the Pharaoh that Sarai is his sister. And so the Pharaoh takes Sarai into his harem for a time until the truth comes out. Still, it seems that Abraham is a bold, courageous, obedient, humble, and faithful man in all that he does. And so perhaps it is a surprise when, in today's reading, God comes to Abram and says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your reward shall be great." And Abram says, "Yeah, about that, God. It's unclear to me just how you are going to work that out when the one thing I really want, the one thing I need in order for your promise to be fulfilled, seems impossible." Abram and Sarai have followed God and they have prospered. But still, they are childless, and they are old. In fact, they were old, about 75, when God first called them to go. Perhaps that hope of a longed-for child was part of what lured them along. Now, decades later, it seems hopeless, and Abram says so. "What are you up to, God?" And God tells Abram to go outside and look at the stars in the sky. "How many stars can you see, Abram? Can you count them? Can you even begin to imagine the number of stars? That, Abram, is the number of descendants you will have." And Abram believes God. What exactly does Abram believe? That he will have a child, that God can be trusted, that there are a lot of stars in the sky? It's not entirely clear, but what is clear is that Abram decides once again to trust and follow God, even though he doesn't understand. Abram is willing to keep walking into the future God has prepared for him, even when he can't see how this future will work out. It's not a great stretch right now to say that perhaps we are feeling a bit like Abram in this story, particularly the Abram who says, God, I've trusted you and followed you, and I don't mean to be pushy, but I just don't see how you're going to work this all out. We are in a pandemic, and we're mostly staying at home to be safe, and we're anxious and lonely. The western part of our country is burning, and the southeast is flooding. We see the news of people being killed and brutalized, particularly people of color, every day. And along with that comes news of protests and civil unrest. This week, our nation lost a champion in the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What are you doing, God? Where do we go from here? And perhaps in this story, we can hear God saying to us, as to Abram, hold on, I'm still with you. I'm still present and working in the world. It's going to be okay. This last week, I was looking at Rachel Held Evans' book, Inspired, and I came across a section about questioning. Evans writes about the questions her young child asks. Is this an elephant? He asks about his toy over and over again. You may remember how children can do that and how it can drive their adults to distraction. Evans gives this reflection. Psychologists say the best way to handle children at this stage of development is not to answer their questions directly, but instead to tell them a story. As pediatrician Alan Green explained, after conversing with thousands of children, I've decided that what they really mean is, that's interesting to me. Let's talk about that together. Tell me more, please. Questions are a child's way of expressing love and trust. They are a child's way of starting a conversation. And so instead of simply insisting over and over again that the object of my son's attention is in fact an elephant, I might tell him about how in India, elephants are symbols of good luck, or about how some say elephants have the best memories of all the animals. I might tell him about the time I saw an elephant spin a basketball on the tip of his trunk, or about how there was an elephant named Horton who heard a who. Sometimes, as I'm doing this, my son will crawl into my lap and put his head on my chest and just listen to the story. His questions quieted, his body relaxed. And I realize this is all he wanted to begin with, to be near me, to hear the familiar cadence of my voice, to know he is safe and not alone. And then I thought of Abram, this trusting, faithful Abram who loves and trusts God and still wonders and questions and sometimes doubts. And how he says, how will this be, God? And maybe what he needs is not so much an answer, but just to hear God say it again. I love you. I've chosen you. You're mine. My promise is sure. And so God takes Abram out, and like you might with a child, not only tells Abram, but shows him. We can imagine God taking Abram by the hand, leading him out under the stars and saying gently, look, Abram, look at that. Isn't it beautiful? How many stars can you count, Abram? How many can you imagine? As Rachel takes her son into her lap and reassures him with connection and care and simple attention, so God takes time with Abram to show him, to talk to him, to reassure him. And in that reassurance is also the acknowledgement, it's okay to question. It's okay to doubt, to wonder, to feel a bit lost and afraid. I am here. You are loved. All will be well. We would like some answers. It would help us in our need to be in control, to plan and prepare, to know what's coming next. But often we don't get the answers we want. And perhaps that's okay, because perhaps it's not really answers that we need, but simply God with us. We gather today by Zoom, in person, and perhaps we are feeling a bit like Abram. What's happening, God? What are you doing? Will it be okay? And God meets us here, in word, in community, in music, and particularly in the bread and wine, where Jesus has promised to meet us in a very particular way. God takes time with us here, but also anywhere, everywhere that we turn to God in need, God is with us. We can climb into God's lap, saying a prayer, singing a song, lighting a candle, or simply being in silence. And God will meet us. I invite you now to close your eyes if that is comfortable for you, and simply to hear these words. Do not be afraid. God is with you. You are loved. And all will be well somehow in God's time. Thanks be to God. Amen.